This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show. For Monday, February 6th, 2017, an 11-game slate on tap for you on Monday. There are not many games on Sunday because of the Super Bowl, so 22 teams are playing on Monday. I'm your host, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Hope you guys had a good weekend. Hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl. It was after what looked like a horrendous game that was basically one-sided, dull, and boring. Pretty crazy. Frickin' Patriots. I'm not a big Patriots fan, but got to give them credit, man. That was pretty amazing. And if you're a Falcons fan, man, do I feel for you. That there's been some tough sports, some tough losses by teams over the years, but that one has to rank up there. That was, man, thank God I'm not a Falcons fan because that one would be tough. I'm trying to think of the worst loss to the judge has ever felt. And I used to be a huge Packers fan because I was a big Brett Favre fan. So it may have been like the Packers losing in the NFC Championship to the Giants in overtime, maybe in like 2008. And that was like Brett Favre's last game for the Packers before they basically kicked him out of Green Bay. But yeah, I mean, that as a Falcons fan, that was tough. So anyway, but now football is finally done. No more football. Back to NBA. Full steam ahead. We have, about 4 months left of the season? Is that many? Yeah, about four or five months maybe. So 5 months if you include the NBA Finals. So it's going to be a fun run here to end the NBA. And now we get the stage all to ourselves. NBA is the only thing going on. And then baseball will try to steal some of the thunder in about a month or so. Before we start the show, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Very easy to do. Only takes a second. I even did it. I rated my own show. I was torn on giving it 4 or 5 stars. I ended up giving it 5 stars. It's really easy to do, man. It took me like 15 seconds. I did it just because I want to see how easy it is. And it's really easy. You go to iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're listening. I think Spotify has a place where you can rate and review as well. But I did it on iTunes. Hit reviews, write a review, boom, done. So that'd be very appreciative if you could do that. Also, when I tweet out the show, if you could retweet it, I know your initial inclination will be to hit that like button. Refrain yourself. Show some restraint and hit that RT button. Let's retweet it. Remember, let's expand the show. Let's grow the show. We've had some of the biggest shows we've had in the history of the show in the last few weeks. So we are getting more and more people aboard, which is a good thing. And obviously, the better we do, the more shows for you guys, which if you're listening, hopefully you guys would want. Because not gonna lie to you, as you guys know, I do these shows late at night. It's right now. It's 3:30 in the morning, and they're hard for me to do. So any way you can support the show, I really do appreciate it. Also, as I touched on last week, so I did join the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, and some of you have been asking, you know, what is that? Some of you said, is that a merger? Some of you also saw over the weekend that there was a show on my feed, and you were like, what is the show? Is the show changing? No, calm yourself down, my friends. I got my gavel. Order in the court. Nothing is changing. The show, it will go on. It will continue to be the same show. Basically, what that means is a podcast network is kind of what it sounds. It's a network of podcasts, and they basically on this network. And you can basically check it out. I mean, if you go to almightyballer.com, and I can also tweet out the link, or you can ask me for the link if you can't find it, or the Twitter handle. There's basically a show, there's a podcast for almost each of the NBA teams in the league. I think there's like, we have like 27 out of the 30 NBA teams. I think we're going to get the last three teams. So check it out, man. Check out all the various podcasts. I mean, go to the website and check out all the various podcasts that we have. And we have a fantasy one, like more of a general fantasy. And we also have, then there's one for every single NBA team. So pick your favorite team and give it a listen. If you're tired of hearing, different podcasts talk about general NBA and you want only your team, let's say you're a Pacers fan, the Indiana Teagues, or you're the Charlotte Batums. I was on a podcast with the guys who run the Charlotte Hornets one over the weekend. Really good guys. They really know their stuff. And that's one of the cool things. Everyone on this network is really, they know their basketball. So it's not guys, you know, a lot of these other podcasts that we listen to, especially in DFS, where they're reading your box scores. They have 14 kids at home. They're not watching the games. They're telling you who's a good play based on what their computer says. And they're basically robots. So I really recommend that you check out the podcast network. Take a listen. If you like it, if you like some of the shows, you like them. If you don't, that's fine too. Like I said, I was on – actually, I was one-on-one on Friday night and then one tonight earlier a few hours ago on like a round table talking just general NBA matters, like, you know, trade deadline stuff. Talking about a lot of the Bucks tonight on the podcast, and talked some Charlotte Hornets on the previous podcast I did on Friday. So check it out when I did a podcast, the one from tonight, I will also tweet that one out as well. So you guys can listen to, it's really not the judge. You're gonna see a different side of me. It's more of a, I played it kind of straight and narrow cause I didn't want to bring out the judge too soon on a more general NBA show. Although I still have my funny moments. But you can listen to those. Feel free. If you don't like it, you don't like it. Totally fine. But remember, DG Courtroom, nothing will change. That will go on as usual. So as far as you're concerned, nothing really changing. Except only the judge will be on some other platforms, some other shows. And when I am, I will let you guys know. And hopefully you guys will like that stuff too. And let me know what you think. If you don't like something, let me know. If you like something, let me know. Feedback's always a good thing. Consultations, if you guys want a consultation with me, I've been doing a couple lately. Remember, if you're having issues, DFS is hard. It's no joke. It's a skill. It's hard to cash. You will lose on certain nights. You will not win every night. If you need help on roster construction, what contest to enter, my own favorite, I must use research techniques and websites that I use for research, how to track and analyze data, strategy in general, then cash games for single entry versus GPPs, analyzing your lineups, all that good stuff. The judge will help you. If you want to go that route, let me know. We'll set something up. Also, please download the lovely app Draft. And when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. Remember, if you don't know where to find the spot to put the promo code, let me know. Tweet at me at DanielAGreen1 or email me via the website dgcourtroomdfs.com. And then just let me know what your username is on the app Draft. And I will make sure you get your 100% deposit bonus. As you guys hopefully know, we have a judge's chambers up on Draft. We have 128 spots. It got completely filled up and it started last Wednesday. And I think we're currently down to the final four or the elite eight on Monday. And we'll get a new bracket up on Wednesday. Again, I think it's going to be $10 again to enter. It's 7 days. It's a lot of fun. Hopefully you have been playing on the app. If you haven't, what's wrong with you? It is a lot of fun. It's doing snake drafts. It's a nice little change of pace from the DFS, from the grind of DFS. I highly recommend you do it. And you can always find me on there and challenge me. I am the judge. You do have to spell out the if you want to challenge me to a contest. And it's just good times. Where are we now? So Chambers is very sad, guys, because on Sunday, because of the Super Bowl, there was no Chambers. It was a day of rest. Sunday was the first day without Chambers in, man, I don't know, like 3 months? And it seems like forever. So we're back at it Monday. And on Monday is the best of the best. I updated the power rankings for FanDuel and DraftKings. So if you don't know, if you're new to the show, and I know there's a lot of new listeners lately, I run a Chambers tournament on FanDuel and on DraftKings. And we also have it on the Love of the App Draft as well. We're basically, it's some of the best players in DFS. We all get together, we join, and we try to beat each other's brains in. And then I also create a power rankings, which I post on the website, dgcourtroom.com, dgcourtroomdfs.com. And then I tweet it out also. And the power rankings are basically what it sounds like, just the players who do the best in Chambers. So on Monday, the people who are at the top of the power rankings got a special invitation from the judge for a special tournament. So if you made that, I sent out the invitations on Sunday, so you already should have them. If you made it, congratulations. If you didn't make it, keep trying. One day you too can make a best of the best tournament. So it's sad because there's no, my bad. You know what I want to do? I want to give a shout out to the people at the top of the power rankings. So for FanDuel, MG Fresh, this guy is on a run for the ages. Jeremy had the number one spot in FanDuel locked up for the last 3-4 weeks. He had a pretty nice lead. And then MG Fresh, he has the highest cash percentage in chambers by far. It's more than double the percentage of anyone else who's playing chambers. And then Jeremy is number two. But MG Fresh has been cashing at an unbelievable rate. I think he had like 3, 4, 5 wins in the last couple of weeks. It's been insane. So he's the number one player currently. Jeremy is number two, but really close. It's a really tight battle between 1 and 2. And then 3 through 7 is now really tight as well. Nesto, I Am Legend, is number three. And the thing is, chambers just keeps getting harder and harder. So that's why it's just so tight. Really, there's about 30 players who are close to being ranked in the power rankings. And the top 10 is it's really tight, especially, like I said, the top two right now are really tight, and then 3 through 7 with I Am Legend, number 3, Slappy DFS is number 4, and SCAS at Fluckin Fantasy is number 5. And then Charismatic Enigma at Berserko is number 6, and he's had a couple monster weeks. He's really close up there, and WTBA is number 7. He had a good week and slipped in the power rankings. That's how tough it is. So congrats to all you guys who were in the power rankings. If you're in the power rankings, hopefully you're making some money, some serious money, because that's no joke right now. The competition is fierce. This is probably the best competition we've had, and I've been doing the chambers now for 2 years probably. On DraftKings, which we have not been running as long, so I think the rankings will be a little volatile the first few weeks, the first month or so. It's really only the second week we've now done power rankings for DraftKings. But Derek Ishmael is number 1. Congrats to him at Derek Ishmael 82. MG Fresh, he's not only a one-trick pony in terms of sites. He also plays on DraftKings. He's the number 2 ranked player. Australia 83 is number 3. Niner Nations number 4. And What Up Doe 88 is number 5. Congrats to everyone who made the DraftKings power rankings as well. I mean, for both sites, if you look at the people who win, they have monster scores every night. So if you're winning in chambers, you're doing something right in DFS. So congrats. All right. Moving on. Let's get to injury news. Oh, no. Judge, got a moment. Just want to say thanks for Jimmy Butler advice on Friday. Oh, great. Troll, is that you? We have an 11-game slate on Monday. I don't have time for this crap today. You told me it's a can't-miss play. Jimmy at Houston, attack pace. I didn't know he'd be ruled out after lineup lock. It was an ideal spot for him, Troll, and you know it. You know who knew and told me not to play him? No, Troll. Who? Roto Grinders. Really? So Roto Grinders, they had the inside info, huh? Yeah. That's why they're the best and you are not. They have all the scoops, never miss a pick at all. And they are hilarious for robots. Is that so? All right. Well, I'm glad you had no Jimmy Butler exposure. Can I please get on with the show now? Yeah. But first, can I get the link for Chambers? Dude, Troll, you want to compete in Chambers? Of course. Wouldn't miss it. It's the best. Also, Judge, good call on Matt Barnes on Saturday. Made me a fortune. Wait. What? So, wait, I made you money again? Yeah. Big night. Took the lady out on the town to Sizzler for a steak. She's a big fan of the show. Oh, God. Troll, you need some help, man. I'm serious. You really need help. Bailiff, can you get him out of here? Wait. One last thing. Should I play Jimmy Butler on Monday? Troll, Bailiff, get him out of here. That's it. Order in the court. Get that troll out of here. Dear God, is this going to be – I mean, Bailiff, stop sleeping and remove this man. Unbelievable. Sorry, guys. The troll, I mean, the Jimmy Butler news. I know there were no games on Sunday. Well, there were a couple early games, but there was no really kind of main slate for NBA. So we're really not going to do dream killers or dream lovers. But for dream killers, we still need to have like one. And that is, how about like NBA coaches, public relations, media? Because if you played BDFS on Friday and you were like me, you had about, I don't know, at least 50% Jimmy Butler at Houston in an ideal spot. Actually, I think I had him in like 85% of my lineups. So we found out after lineup lock that Jimmy Butler was out. He was dealing with a heel issue, a heel contusion. I have no freaking idea. Super frustrating because obviously someone in Chicago knew. The Bulls clearly were aware of the issue. I think Hoiberg gave a press conference at like, you know, 6:30 Eastern and basically said all Bulls are going to be available. So that was super frustrating. But the one thing I'll say with that, like, that's just part of DFS, man. And that's why one thing that I tweeted out was bankroll management. It actually is important. And that's why even if you love a slate, just be careful because stuff like that can happen. You can think you love a slate, and after lineup lock, someone's going to get ruled out. Especially as the, you know, it's only going to get worse. As the season grinds on, more and more players will sit out with real injuries, fake injuries. Teams will start tanking, playing young guys. So it gets tricky. And there is no late swap anymore on DraftKings. Now, next year, we'll hopefully one site bring that back. It probably would be a good thing if, as long as the NBA coaches, media, PR, they're going to keep misleading us. Yes, I think it would be useful, but that hurt. And obviously, it cost me a lot of money. But that, again, it doesn't pay to get too upset about it because that's just part of DFS. It's going to happen. You know, on Saturday, Saturday the same thing happened. Kyrie Irving got ruled out after lineup lock, and that, you know, hopefully it will kind of balance out for you because on Friday I had a ton of Butler. On Saturday, I had no Irving. So things kind of worked out. Friday, I lost a lot of money. Saturday, I made a ton of money. So, I mean, things tend to even out with the late injury news. So, yes, occasionally will you get killed and will you be pissed about it? Yes. Should you be? Yes. Should you throw a gavel or whatever you want, a remote at the TV? Yes. Don't obviously break the remote or break the TV. But I get the frustration. Trust me. I was pissed because I basically threw $300-$400 down the drain. Luckily made it up Saturday, but it's just going to happen. Part of DFS, unfortunately. All right, let's hop into the slate, man, for one day. It's Monday's an awesome slate, 11 games. Almost too many, so we need a way to narrow the player pool. But first, let's get into the judge's verdict. And first of all, I don't know why the hell I said that. There is no judge. There is no judge's verdict segment today. I was going to do one, but then things got out of hand. Anyway, let's get to injury news. That's what I meant. Injury news is what I meant. I'm telling you this, when you do shows this late at night, your brain can only function at such a capacity. So I must be at like maybe 85% capacity. So I'm going to make little errors like that. Injury news, that's what I said. I'm sticking to it. So Kyrie Irving, he's dealing with this right quad soreness. He sat out Saturday. It's questionable for Monday. If he is out, Kevin Love, 6.2% usage bump. Kyle Korver, now not a huge sample size, but he does get a 4.6% usage bump. Somewhat interesting and intriguing. And they are trying to force giving Korver minutes so they can get him ready by the time the playoffs roll around. LeBron, 4.5% usage rate. Obviously, Love and LeBron become elite plays if Kyrie is out. Then guys like Liggins and Shumpert, they see about a 2% usage bump as well. Speaking of Jimmy Butler, the troll was very angry about Jimmy Butler on Friday. So if Jimmy Butler, he still got the heel contusion, he's questionable. Don't know if he'll, I mean, it didn't sound like he would play from what the things I was reading in Chicago papers on Sunday, but you never know. If he's out, Wade gets an 8% usage bump. I know a lot of us were frustrated. Wade is an interesting player at this stage of his career. And I know a lot of us jump early and if a player has a struggle in the first quarter, second quarter, you know, and we've talked about this many shows in the past where, you know, sometimes a lot of us are quick to say someone's a dream killer. Wade tends to get you there. Even on, was it Friday night without Butler, Wade started off horrendous. He ended the night close to around 35 Vandal points. His usage rate is just too high and they play Sacramento. So not great pace matchup, but in terms of individual matchup, he's in a really good spot. His usage rate is close to 40% without Butler. So say for all formats, I know you're going to hear all these stupid shows which don't know what they're talking about. They're going to tell you Wade's not a good play. I don't like playing Wade. You know, that's the trendy thing to say nowadays because he is old and his knees are busted up. But say for all formats, that's just the usage rate is just too high if Butler's out. Also, MCW is a really intriguing play if Butler's out. MCW started without Butler, and he might have been close to 40 FanDuel points. He went nuts. So he's a really good play. Mirotić, I think Mirotić is a nice play. He's going to see he gets about a 3.2% usage bump. MCW gets a 4% usage bump. So some of the Bulls are going to be in play, and otherwise will be not a very good game in terms of pace. For the Knicks, Joakim Noah is out again. He should be out permanently. Put him to pasture with a hamstring injury, dear God. So Hornacek's still kind of toying with us. He's playing O'Quinn again, but I still like Hernan Gomez if I'm going to play a Knicks center. Then you got Philly, Okafor questionable, and Embiid out. So if both those guys don't play, Ersan's a good play, Saric is a good play, maybe some Nerlens Noel, depending on the salary and what site you're playing on. Cephalosha's questionable with the groin. If he's out, I like Tim Hardaway Jr. a lot. He's been playing well. Maybe a little Bazemore. For Toronto, Patrick Patterson and DeMar DeRozan are both questionable. If those guys are out, my boy, Jonas Valanciunas, gets a 4.2% usage bump. That's big for him because normally his usage rate's like 20%. So that's a nice bump. And he's always low-owned. I think I had him on Friday or Saturday, and he was like 2% owned, you know, because of recency bias is such a huge part of DFS. If someone has a bad game, the next game, no one plays them. It's insane how much of a thing recency bias is. So I like Valanciunas. Terrence Ross, a nice tournament play, gets about a 3% usage bump. Of course, Lowry and Powell become really good plays as well. Almost elite plays. Although Powell's price has jumped up, so I don't know if Powell can be an elite play anymore. Otherwise, Josh Richardson's out with a foot, Chris Dunn with a hand. So Minnesota without Levine, without Dunn, possibly. Brandon Rush, Muhammad, Bjelica. I call him Bjelica. That's how it's spelled. Why can't we just pronounce it that way? Gorgui Dieng. I don't know what the hell they're doing with Gorgui Dieng. Just doesn't get a ton of minutes anymore. But Minnesota, I mean, Thibodeau ran some weird lineups out there again in that last Minnesota game versus Memphis. Andrew Bogut is out with the hamstring, and Darren Williams is questionable. So if Darren Williams is out, Yogi Bear again probably be in play, although Yogi Bear is not cheap anymore. And then Moutier is questionable with a back for Denver. All right, let's move in, take a little trip to Vegas. So we're still waiting on three over-unders. Obviously the Bulls, because we don't know about Butler. Toronto, we don't know about DeMar DeRozan. There's no line on the Lakers-Knicks game. Not sure why. That's a little weird. But games that are on the board, Phoenix at New Orleans. This game is fantasy gold. Give me so many players in this game. We know who's going to get all the big minutes for Phoenix and New Orleans. So just if you want to stack a game, this is a great one to stack. Cleveland-Washington. This could be the most fun game to actually watch. 220 over-under. Washington's favored by one. Washington has won about 14 straight at home. They have like the second best record in the NBA in the month of January, or I guess in 2017, you could now say. They've been playing just – they're on fire, and Cleveland's been really bad. So I'm surprised they're only favored by one. That just shows you how much Vegas still loves Cleveland. Also, why is there a line and a spread when Kyrie Irving is still questionable? That's a little bizarre. So maybe the fact the Wizards are favored, maybe Kyrie's not going to play. But that should be fantasy gold. If you want to, you can put Love. If Irving's out, put Love, LeBron, John Wall. Just put them in your lineup right now. Just three super safe guys on this slate. Philly, Detroit, 213 over under. Dallas, Denver, 213. I mean, Dallas having a 213 over under. I probably will never repeat that again this year. That's by far the highest over under I can remember them having. Then you got some nasty games. Look, we need to narrow the player pool. I'm not going to be looking at a player pool of 1,000 players tomorrow all day long. It's going to drive me insane. It's going to drive you insane. It's going to drive everyone insane. The troll is going to be asking me questions about it. All kinds of players. So let's just chop a couple off. Utah, Atlanta, chop it off. 197 over-under. I don't need it in cash games. Now remember, in tournaments, yeah, everyone's been playing tournaments. But in cash games, do I need that stress in my life? A Utah-Atlanta game? No, thank you. San Antonio-Memphis? Do I need that in my life on this slate? No. I don't want anyone in that game for cash. Scratch that off. There you go. 9-game slate. Sounds better already. Pace. Teams playing up in pace. You guys know I love pace, usage, and the bailiff. The Pelicans against Phoenix are playing up in pace. Love the Pelicans and love Anthony Davis if he can stay healthy, which is a big, big freaking if. Dallas, as I mentioned, Dallas playing way up in pace, especially if guys like Darren Williams are out. I really like them. Because also, with Darren Williams is so old, and Yogi Bear is a little baby, so having him in there and Seth Curry, that's just quickened Dallas' pace in general. Indiana's playing up in pace against OKC, and the Knicks a little bit against the Lakers. And Detroit a little bit against Philly, but not too much. All right, let's hop into the plays. Man, my spreadsheets are too enormous when there's a large slate. So my strategy on 11, 12-game slates, I tend to play a little bit less than I normally do. At least that's my initial outlook until I'm done with my research. And then I also will play mostly tournaments and not cash games. But also, I will mostly play single-entry tournaments, which I do anyway. But I might go 100% single-entry tournaments on this slate. When there's this many games, the pros who are playing 150, maximum entry lineups in every multiple entry contest, and which I told you before, the pros, they create accounts for their wife, for their spouse, mother-in-law, sister-in-law. So they're playing up to 500, 750, 1,000 different lineups in any particular contest. They just have such an advantage of us because while we're spending hours and hours, do we play Booker or Beal? They're playing both. While we're deciding for hours, do we play Lou Williams or Seth Curry? They play both. While we're deciding, do we play Cousins or Towns? They play both. They have us beat because in every scenario because they're playing both. We're making decisions. They're not. They're letting their computers make decisions. So it's very tough to compete against the pros in these multiple entry tournaments on these super large slates like this. Single entry tournaments, it levels the playing field, man. I get one lineup. You get one lineup. The pros with their computers get one lineup. The guys who are hosting these scam shows get one lineup. We're all – it's the same level playing field. I'll put myself up against anyone in the world in those contests. So I highly recommend you guys jump in the single entry tournaments. But ultimately, it's your money. So if you want to play large GPPs, by all means, God bless and good luck. The judge, she'll be rooting for you. All right, point guard, Westbrook. As always, on these large slates, you don't need to do it in cash. He is super expensive. Point guard, as always, is loaded. He's been excellent. But he doesn't have to be excellent, especially if you help us take down a tournament. He has to be superhuman. The last two games against Portland and Memphis, he single-handedly won those games in the fourth quarter. And you look at he put up 55 fandom points. That's really not enough. We need more than that from him these days. Against Memphis, he put up 73. That was enough. That was glorious. That was phenomenal. But you look at his game logs, he's probably going to get you between 50 and 60. And can you make up for that? Because are other guys who are a lot cheaper at point guard going to smash value? Yes, they absolutely will. So you don't need to do it in cash, but he's always elite for any format you want to play a Westbrook in. And Indiana, I like the pace of that game. Jeff Teague defense doesn't worry me. So not like he's playing Memphis or Dallas or a team slow in pace. So a perfect fine day to play Westbrook. But if you look at the winning lineups on these large slates, most of the time the higher price guys are not in there because it does limit what you can do with the rest of your lineup. All right, John Wall, 10.6K. I'm torn on what to do because he's still too expensive. If this was a 5-game slate, I'd probably plug him in and play him. On a 11-game slate, I don't think you need to do it. The last three out of the last four games, though, he's been over 50, but that's what he needs to get us these days. He's locked into monster minutes. He's playing really well. Washington is playing phenomenal. I do love this Cleveland-Washington game, so I will have a lot of exposure to John Wall. It's just a matter of do you want to play him in cash or not. You can, I don't think it's a must. I think if you want to save a little bit at point guard and you want to spend up at other spots, to me it makes some sense. But Wall, always fine for any format. Eric Bledsoe, playing on New Orleans. You can attack New Orleans. The thing that's worried me lately, if you watch Bledsoe play, and Hornacek kind of alluded to this, that he seems a little tired. And he has been playing, you know, pretty big minutes all year. His usage rate has been on the rise. It's up to 31% almost now. It's the third highest on this slate if Kyrie does not play. So I don't mind it. I just don't want to do it in cash. If you want to do it in tournaments, sure. One thing I do love to do, and I absolutely will do this every day as I'm building lineups. I have you guys know I love my spreadsheets. I'll have a spreadsheet, and I have on every position I list out who's coming off of a bad game, and I write down all of the guys because I want to remember. Because remember, recency bias. You know you're going to get them at a lower ownership than what they should, and that's what I'm trying to attack, especially in tournaments. Half the battle is knowing ownership. You need to be able to estimate ownership. I don't know why I'm saying it like ownership. It's annoying, I know, but it is it's crucial. It's quite honestly, like when I'm on the usually each day I have a phone call with two or three other pros, and half the talk is just about ownership. It's about what do we think Westbrook's going to be? What percentage will Westbrook be? What percentage will Anthony Davis be? What percentage will Jonas Valanciunas be? I mean, that's literally half our conversation. Now, remember, I'm mostly a tournament guy, and the guys I'm talking to are mostly tournament players. So if you're a cash game player, you do not have to worry about that nearly as much. But for even single entry and also the large GPPs, then ownership percentage is a big thing. So a guy like Bledsoe, the ownership's going to be nice and low, so you can attack him in tournaments on Monday. But what I do it in cash, hell to the no. Kyle Lowry. If DeMar DeRozan is out, I love him for cash. It's just super safe, and you can save 3.4K from Westbrook, even 1.6 from Wall. Who's going to guard him? Fat Felton? Austin Rivers? I mean, he's been basically 40 FanDuel points the last 5, 6, 7 games. I think that's his floor, especially if DeMar DeRozan is out. And remember, cash games, it's about safety, safety, safety. You can't get any safer than Kyle Lowry. Is the upside as great as some of the other guys? Maybe not. But for cash games, I don't care about upside that much. I care about more about safety. And Lowry is safe. Goran Dragic, 8.1K. Believe it or not, but Miami's won 10 straight games. It's annoys me so freaking much. I cannot believe. And Whiteside finally had a good game over the weekend against Philly. But he's been a dud basically the last few weeks. How they're winning with just Dragic and Deion Waiters and bums like Magruder and Ellington, James Johnson. James Johnson, I guess, is not a bum, but still, it's been pretty amazing. I'm just mad because I'm a big Wade fan, and everyone in Miami is saying, oh, Miami was right to get rid of Wade. Maybe they were. So Dragic, another guy, super safe. It's just nice and steady. I think he's got a floor of 30, 35 FanDuel points. So he's safe for all formats. He really is. I thought Tyler Johnson coming back would limit him a little bit, but it really hasn't. Even though Tyler Johnson got 34 minutes last game. Granted, that was the game Dragic did the worst. So if you don't want to use Dragic for cash for that reason, I get it. And maybe he's only a single entry and a tournament guy, but I think he's fine for all formats. And Minnesota, like Rubio defense does not worry me. And I think that's actually a sneaky little fun game to stack. A Dragic Rubio as your two point guards. I tried to play Rubio against Mike Conley. That did not work. And remember, though, Miami usually does play at a slow pace. Even though it is a little confusing because you thought with Dragic they would push the pace this year, it really hasn't happened that way. But I think Dragic's fine. Drew Holiday, love it because Phoenix, they're playing way up in pace. So will I have me some Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis lineups? I absolutely will. Tyreke Evans does hurt him a little bit. I don't know if I want to play Drew Holiday in cash games. Normally I would not. On this slate, it's okay just because he's going to get so many extra possessions against Phoenix. It's fine for any format you want. Jeff Teague, 7.7K. against OKC. So yeah, I mean, all year long, I always have at least one lineup attacking Russell Westbrook. So I will not change my plan on Monday. Teague, he's not a Magic Mountain guy, but he hasn't been the most consistent player, you know, in the world lately. 32, 41, 23 the last three games. So that worries me enough. We're on an 11-game slate. I probably wouldn't force it into cash games. But tournaments, yeah, absolutely. Mike Conley, 7.6K. Man, I played Conley on Saturday night when everyone from Memphis was out. I stacked the hell out of that Memphis-Minnesota game, and I paid the price. And that's, you know, and I was fine with the result. Like I knew the risk I was taking. And this is why I talk about pace. When you play guys and you stack a game with a game of over under of, let's say, 200 or something like that, sometimes it can backfire, even if they're going to get a lot of minutes, because they're just not going to get a lot of possessions. And also didn't help that Conley basically literally he wasn't trying the first half. In the second half, he did okay. And he still got me like 32 Fanduel points, but at that salary, and I was in the hunt to take down some tournaments. So him and Rubio prevented me from that. But quite honestly, it was the pace of that game. It was just, the pace was just too freaking slow. I just could not get enough possessions. So that's when you hear me harping about pace. I mean, it really does make a difference. Now, sometimes Vegas is wrong, right? I did think without Gasol that I thought Conley would be able to push the pace a little bit. I thought, you know, that Minnesota with Rubio would be able to push the pace more, that, you know, without a lot of Tony Allen and guys like Gasol out as well. And that just didn't happen. So with that said, Conley against San Antonio, I don't love it, but everyone's always so scared about attacking Spurs. So he'll be low owned. So tournaments, you can do it, but I don't love that play. Ricky Rubio, I mean, I suffered through this on Saturday watching that entire Minnesota game. And that's, talk about, you know, playing guys with, or games in with a low over-under that are at a slow in pace. Same thing goes with usage. It was basically two birds and one stone, and both the stones hit me in the freaking face because Rubio has no usage rate. That was well on display. And he also was in a low-pace game against Memphis on Saturday. Both of those came back to hurt me, and it gave me 22 FanDuel points. And then his salary, that wasn't enough. Against Miami, it's another slow-paced game, so I don't love the spot for Rubio, especially not for cash games. Brandon Jennings. So I think Rose is going to be out, but looks like he's a game-time decision. He's expected to play. That sucks. If Rose is going to play, they're playing the Lakers. It is the Lakers, so maybe if I have 10 lineups, I would throw Rose in one. But that sucks. Obviously, you can't pay 6.5K for Jennings if Rose is going to play, so it's going to be hard to take advantage of the Lakers at point guard. D'Angelo Russell, he has a 30% usage rate, and I love usage so much, and he's been basically over 40 FanDuel points or close to the last three games. So the Knicks are atrocious defensively. Now he gets Derrick Rose after a long layoff. The Knicks may be one of the worst teams in the NBA right now. They are just so lost. They need to figure out what the hell they're going to do with Carmelo, if they're going to trade him or not. The Lakers haven't been much better, so there's going to be zero defense in this game. This is another fun little game you can stack. Unfortunately, not a ton of guys from the Lakers you can really use, but it's should be no defense being played. And if you want to use some guys from this game, I don't mind it. Now, would I do D'Angelo Russell in cash games? No. But for single entry in tournaments, hell yeah. Reggie Jackson, I'm telling you, he's been bad. He's not getting a lot of minutes. Ish Smith has been getting minutes. It's just, he hasn't hit 30 minutes in four straight games. So don't go near him in cash games. The usage rate's still hovering around 30%. So again, this is like if I played 10 lineups, I would throw him in one because he's going to get some TJ McConnell defense. You know, that's a slow white guy who can't move. Turtle emoji, turtle emoji, turtle emoji. If Arjax can just get some freaking minutes, he could put up a big game. The problem with Detroit right now is other guys are playing really well. Marcus Morris has gone nuts the last couple games. So when other guys go off, Stan Van tends to leave Reggie on the bench because Reggie won't pass those guys. Dennis Schroeder. So Atlanta's playing Utah. This is quite honestly, was there an over-under in this game or not? Where is it? Yeah, 197. I did mention that. Yes, this is a game I'm going to be avoiding in cash games. So no, thank you. But tournaments, sure. We've seen guys like Zach LaVine put up 50-60 against Utah. Elfrid Payton, that tin man did it. So why can't Dennis Schroeder? So if you want to do it in a tournament, sure. Austin Rivers, on an 11-game slate, I just don't feel the need to force an Austin Rivers, and I don't want that disgustingness in my life. Tyler Johnson, he's expensive, 5.8K. If you want to do it in the tournament, fine, I guess. I don't know. I mean, Tyler Johnson and Austin Rivers are both in the same spot for me. Like, I just, if it was a 5-game slate, I'd consider them a lot more. On an 11-game slate, I just don't think you need to do it. I mean, you have George Hill at the same price. So if I choose, I mean, give me George. In cash games, give me George Hill. And I don't like George Hill at all. But out of those three, I'll take George Hill, bumbling, stumbling, fumbling into a safe 25 Fando points. TJ McConnell's 5.7K. He's around this kind of the same thing. And Yogi Bear, they're all the same price. They're all 5.6 to 5.9K. You know, Yogi gets Denver all year long. Who do we attack from Denver? We attack the hell out of Denver guards. Moutier, Nelson, it doesn't matter. They're old, they're young, they're slow, they don't play defense, they're easy to attack. So it's shocking that the fact that Yogi's been in the league, what, four games now, less than a week? And is he the safest play out of Yogi, McConnell, Hill, Johnson, Rivers, out of these 5K bums? Probably against Denver, and because he's locked into the 38 minutes. As long as Darren Williams is out, make sure Darren Williams is out. Yeah, I'd probably go Yogi number one, and then I would go probably George Hill two, McConnell three, and then Tyler and Austin. I'd throw them in a trash can. Then you got the under 5K bums. Then you got Rondo. Rondo, if Butler's out, is an interesting play. He's going to get 20 minutes, so I wouldn't do it in cash. You can do it in tournaments. Darren Collison, just I don't think you need to force that on an 11-game slate. He'll bumble and stumble and fumble into 22 Fando points like he did against Golden State. But it's Boogie Cousins is the first option, second option, third option, fourth option, fifth option. That's why his usage rate is just skyrocketing right now. That's really the only guy from Sacramento I'd want, besides the god Matt Barnes, which we'll get to in a little bit. Then you got Jordan Clarkson, Fat Felton. MCW, I do like if MCW gets the start, if Jimmy Butler is out, yeah, 35 minutes, 44 Fando points. Yeah, that was against Houston, but I do think he'd be safe for all formats if Butler is out. Then you got Jameer Nelson, if you want to go that route as well, if Moody is out. All right, shooting guard. So you got D. Wade. I mentioned at the top of the show. The usage rate is just too hard for me to ignore. I understand why people don't like Wade. Seen for years, he's had issues, the knees, sitting out games. Also, this is the most inefficient he's probably been since his rookie year or his first 2 years in the league. But get through all that crap, all that nonsense. Dude's going to be having, if Butler's out, a 40% usage rate. So against Sacramento, that has struggled to defend a shooting guard all year long. The pace is not great, but the floor is like 30 to 35 Fando points. And shooting guard sucks on this slate. Even though it's 11 games, I don't love it. So I think Wade he's fine for all formats, and he does have upside on this slate as well. If Butler plays, then obviously do I love the Wade play? No, I don't love it, but he still has like a 31 to 32% usage rate. So I still think he's okay. You know, I probably would look to save a little at shooting guard in cash games, but like I think Wade's fine. Deion Waiters, 7.2K. I don't know how this guy keeps doing it. Against Philly, Miami blew Philly out. He only played 26 minutes and still had 36 Fando points. He's been efficient. He's leading the second unit. He's passing the ball. He gets you like 6-7 assists these days. It's like a parallel universe. I don't know where the hell we are. I'm still going to fade him. That's just too expensive for me. How long can this Deion Waiters run go? I don't know. So in cash games, will I play him? No, I'd still prefer to pay up in Wade, but this is the one pick I say the judge is biased because Wade is my favorite player probably of all time besides Jordan. And I hate Deion Waiters because I want Miami to lose. I'm rooting as hard. I root for Golden State to lose every game, as you guys know, because Durant has ruined DFS and ruined the NBA by going to the team with the best record ever. I mean, that's absurd. Why would you make that decision, Durant? Yeah, that's I will never understand that. But I also am rooting super hard for Miami to lose every game. So waiters, it's super expensive, man. I'm not going to lie. But can you play them? I guess so. I will have one lineup with waiters somehow. I'll probably be in a tournament, though. Devin Booker. So, I mean, he's 7.1K. He's just the epitome of a one-trick pony. Against Milwaukee, I don't know if you guys watched this game. I think it was Saturday, where he had one stretch, and I don't remember if it was like 4 minutes, 5 minutes, where he must have made like 5, 6, 7, 8 three-pointers. It was absurd. And then he did like nothing the rest of the game. And then he ended up with 31 actual points. And guess how many FanDuel points? Let me hear a number. 35. That's right, because he's a one-trick pony. Just take his actual points and then add a couple. He's going to stumble into some rebounds or an assist. But then he'll probably get some turnovers as well. So he has to get you like 30 actual points, which he can do, but it just makes him, he does not have a ton of upside. So I don't mind it. And you can attack Pelicans guard. So he's fine. It's just, I just don't love the play on the 11 game slate. Bradley Beal, I mean, similar to Booker, except Booker's usage rate is higher. Booker has the second highest usage rate on the slate and shooting guard next to Wade. Beal has the third highest, but Booker's is 28% and Beal's like 26%. So if I had to choose, I guess I'd go Booker. And Booker's been a little more consistent. So I'd probably choose Booker. But this is a spot where if I'm playing multiple lineups, I have the exact same lineup and I have one with Booker and one with Beal. But if I had to choose, gun to my head, I go Booker in cash games for sure. But I do love stacking that Cleveland-Washington game. Lou Williams, 6.3K. If you need to find ways to attack this, you know, the Lakers Knicks game, you can play some Lou Will. The problem is he's going to be 25 minutes, and then that's just not a lot of minutes, and I don't like doing it. Seth Curry, Dallas gets Denver, so we attack Denver guards. That's a motto we live by. Curry is getting expensive now, so it's hard to find a ton of upside here. But because it's Denver, because the pace is going to be this the highest over-under I've seen Dallas have all year, I think it's okay to do. I think it's safe for all formats. KCP, 5.8K. I can't decide if he should be at Magic Mountain with us or not. Maybe you guys should weigh in. The last three games, this is pretty crazy. 5 FanDuel points, 19, and 50. Like, that's quite the range, quite the spectrum. And then you can even play it out further. 29, 8, 34. So that screams to me, roller coaster, Magic Mountain, don't use in cash. Tournaments against Philly? Sure. I mean, who's going to be guarding him? Gerald Henderson? Stauskas? So you can do it. He's got upside. But clearly, he's volatile. Oladipo, 5.7K. Just, wow, he had on Sunday, I guess he had 48 FanDuel points. That must have came out of freaking nowhere. Because before that, he hadn't been above like 30, really. I think he only topped like 31 FanDuel points maybe one time all of January. So now OKC's on a back-to-back against Indiana. I do like the matchup. I don't mind it. He's pretty safe. I don't think he's going to get you 50 again, but it's fine. It's just, yeah, I feel kind of blah about it because if Westbrook normally will not pass on the ball, so it's hard to love that play for tournaments. Wesley Matthews, another Dallas guy attacking Denver. I think a sneaky move is just pivoting off of Curry and taking Wes Matthews because everyone's still probably going to be on Curry. It's Wes Matthews and Curry are both going to get a lot of minutes. I think Curry's a little bit safer because he's got the higher usage rate. But if you want to pivot off and go Wes Matthews, or you can do the judges special, you can go Curry and Wes Matthews. As long as Darren Williams is out, they're both going to get 35-plus minutes, they should, and they both should be around 30 FanDuel points. So you could do that on this slate. Tim Hardaway Jr., tournaments only because it's against Utah. Gary Harris, I don't mind it, but it's hard to love. He's killed me too many times this year. I think he's going to find a way to bumble and stumble into around 20 FanDuel points, but I think you have better value plays. Will Barton, 4.9K. Obviously, if Gary Harris is scary, then Will Barton's even super scary. So I would not touch Barton in cash games. But you want to do in a tournament, I guess. I still would prefer Gary Harris if I had to choose between him or Barton right now. JJ Redick, okay for cash if you want. Norm Powell. Why Powell's price still did not go up. It's still 4.8K. So, man, if DeMar's out, if DeMar DeRozan is out, I think he's a lock and load in cash games. He's going to get you 20, 25 fandom points, and he has upside. So, I bet you on DraftKings he's close to like 6K by now. That's just a bad job by FanDuel. Then you got guys like Courtney Lee, Shumpert, Ellington, Danny Green, Justin Holiday, blah, 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 blah. All right, small forward. LeBron, 11.2K. If Kyrie is out, just get LeBron in your cash games. Just do it. I think the opportunity cost is going to be too much to pass up. In tournaments, can you fade? Sure. But for me, I still think if Kyrie is out, I'll have maybe 50% LeBron exposure in tournaments. Now, last game, he only had 48 fandom points without Kyrie. So I was super excited because I played a decent amount of him, and he was like 7% owned. Because remember, Kyrie was ruled out after lineup lock. So I don't think he's going to be – I think he's going to be a lot higher than 7% owned. But I still think it's fine for any format. I really do love that Cleveland-Washington game. Kawhi, so he gets Memphis, 9.7K. Yeah. Look, I tried attacking the Memphis without Gasol, without Allen. That backfired a little bit on me on Saturday. Granted, I still made a lot of money. I'll pay up for LeBron rather than pay 9.7K for Kawhi. Now, if you want, this is an interesting route to go in tournaments to play some Kawhi, fade LeBron. Could Kawhi still hit 50? Sure, of course. So I don't mind it for tournaments at all. People are scared of Utah, scared of Memphis. So Kawhi is going to be low owned. Makes him a good tournament play. Paul George, 8.8K. I can't do it in cash just from what I've seen the last few games of him. He's gone back. He's reverted a little bit to the I'm not too interested in playing basketball. I got hot girls on my mind. Something's going on in my personal life. I don't know. Sometimes he's just not engaged. It's a long season. Who knows? Maybe he's just, I don't know. Maybe he's banged up. But I don't want him in cash games. Also, he's probably going to get some Roberson defense, who's probably OKC's best defender, or some Oladipo defense as well. So tournaments, you want to do it, fine. I probably prefer him a little bit to Kawhi based on the matchup. So I don't mind it in tournaments, but I don't love it. On FanDuel, it's just a weird price. Like the 8.8K, that's just a price that I'm probably not going to have too many times in my lineup. Carmelo, 8.1K. I mean, I did a poll over the weekend about if I sold a shirt with a Dream Killer, who should be on the shirt. I got a lot of Carmelos back, more than I thought. So, and the more I thought about it, that's actually right. He's been ejected so many times. He's been injured. He's just a bad play. He's a one-trick pony. Not a cash game guy. He does get the Lakers here. Can he still put up big games? Yes. So I think he's in a good spot here. Lakers can't defend anyone. So I prefer him over Paul George, over Kawhi. So if you want to save $3,000 from LeBron, to get some Carmelo versus Lakers, yeah, I don't mind it. Gordon Hayward, the last couple of games he's been okay. Yeah, he's been in the 40s, and for him that's progress, because before that it seemed like for like a month he was in like 20s, 30s. So he's fine. It's just a guy that I just never get excited to play. Utah's playing up in pace, but they're always playing up in pace. So it's fine. He's a guy always overlooked, underowned. So for that reason, he makes him an intriguing guy. Yeah, he just, for some reason, probably will not make a lot of my lineups. Andrew Wiggins, 7.4K. First Miami. I'm not a huge fan of this game. The more I think about how this game's going to play out, the possessions are going to be not. It's going to be a slow game. Wiggins is a one trick pony. He's expensive. I would never play him in cash. I don't love the play. Harrison Barnes. This play I do love. I like a lot of Dallas guys. I like Yogi. I like Seth. I like West. Now Harrison, he's not sexy, but you can use him in any format you want. You can use him in cash games. He's locked into a lot of minutes. I do think Dirk back, it does hurt him a little bit. The usage goes down. But he's fine. I love the fact Dallas is going to get, an extra 20, 25 possessions in this game. Otto Porter, you guys should know me by now. I will not be playing Otto Porter. He's 6.4K. That's just too expensive for me. Where's the upside? Where I need upside. There's none here. It's a house. There's no ceiling. Is the floor safe? Yeah. It's a concrete. Yeah. You play him, he'll probably be okay. So if you want to play him, I get it. I think he's relatively safe for cash games. I just prefer to play a guy who I think is going to touch the ball like once a quarter. Speaking of which, Wilson Chandler, 6.2K. If Gallinari is out, which I'm pretty sure he is, I would probably prefer to play Wilson Chandler over Otto Porter. Now, maybe in cash games I would go Otto, maybe. But for like a tournament, no, give me Wilson Chandler because he's going to shoot the ball a lot with Gallinari out. And he's capable of giving you a 50 FanDuel point. He's done it twice in the last week. So now, do I love the fact that Denver playing down in pace? No. But I think Wilson Chandler's fine for any format. Although cash, I get it if you're a little nervous playing in cash. Marcus Morris. On Saturday, I played him everywhere. I was a little nervous because he's coming off a big game, so I thought his ownership would be a little higher than what it should be, but it wasn't. It paid off. He got me 35 FanDuel points, and that's two straight games where he's gone nuts. The minutes are there. He gets close to 40 minutes a night. He has 40 FanDuel point upside. He's locked in right now. Both Morris brothers are playing pretty well. Quite honestly, at that price, I think he's safe for all formats. Kent Bazemore, dear God. And no, and then you see if it was versus any team, it'd be like no for cash games. Tournaments, maybe. But then it's playing Utah, so double no for cash games. Shabazz Muhammad, his price is not cheap now. It's 4.7K because he's starting to get more minutes. Zach LaVine's out, and he's going to be an interesting piece of the Minnesota puzzle. So if you want to do it, you can. I guess you can, but he's not cheap anymore. So I don't think it makes a ton of sense at that price on an 11-game slate. PJ Tucker, you know, whatever. I don't love it, but he could get you 35 FanDuel points. Could he be in like the winning GPP lineup? Sad to say, but maybe. Still not a guy I'll roster a lot of on this slate. TJ Warren, on the other hand, I probably will roster a decent amount of. Now, last two games, he's gotten 37 and 36 minutes. So, and he's gotten 28 and 30 FanDuel points. Phoenix seems to be slowly giving these young guys back to, a lot of minutes. The guys like Chris and Warren. So I think they're in play. The Pelicans don't defend anyone. I love the Cleveland-Washington game and the Phoenix-New Orleans games. Probably my two favorite games right now. And maybe the Knicks-Lakers as well. Other than that, you got Matt Barnes. I mean, Matt Barnes made me a ton of money on Saturday night against Golden State. I don't think he started. And I'm pretty sure he barely played the first quarter or barely played the third quarter. He played like the entire second, the entire fourth, and he played the overtime. Ended up with 34 FanDuel points. If you're just watching the game, he was everywhere. Sometimes he just looks so unenthused, so gutless, heartless. But he was super into that game. Now, granted, it's easy for teams to get up against Golden State. Is he going to get up against the Bulls? I don't know. But also remember, Sacramento now there's no Rudy Gay, so even if he doesn't start, he's going to get a minimum probably 24, 26 minutes. At 3.8K, his price should have come up. That's another bad job by FanDuel. So I think he's safe for any format. Damari Carroll, man, 3.7K. This guy he's got a floor of 2 and like a ceiling of like 35, 40. One of the most bizarre players I've seen this year. I don't know what the hell to make of it. I guess you can't trust in cash, but it's an interesting tournament play. If he gets – some days he gets 35, 40 minutes. Plus, if Patrick Patterson's out, he should get lots of run. He's so dirt cheap. I don't know. It's bizarre, man. I don't know if he's still banged up. Like, what is his issue this year? I object to him in general. Man, he may be the most frustrating guy. Because I played him on nights where he's given me 2, and I've also played him on nights where he's given me like 40. And that's about it for small forward. There's guys like Ross and Roberson that you can, But remember, on an 11-game slate, you don't need to force it. Anthony Davis, power forward, 11.3K, one of my favorite plays on the board. My only concern here is, as you guys are probably aware, is he healthy? First of all, can he stay healthy? One. And two, is he healthy? If you watched the last Pelicans game against Washington, the entire second half, dude was limping. He was limping. He was crunched over. The fourth quarter, I was shocked when he came back in. because he couldn't move at all. And he didn't – I'm pretty sure he didn't have he must have had like 43 or 42 Vanderbilt points going into the fourth quarter. And in the fourth quarter, he did nothing. He was not involved in the offense. He sat in a corner because he couldn't move. So it was Drew Holiday, Tyreek Evans, every time down the court in terms of running the offense. And Anthony Davis, he would occasionally try to set a pick. And then, but then he would just sit up by the perimeter. He couldn't get a rebound. He was utterly useless. And it sucked too because he had a really good first half. So, I mean, something's clearly still wrong. I think it's his hip. But every part of it, it seems like every part of his body is banged up. So, I mean, I checked the injury news before the show. I couldn't find anything. But and now he gets Phoenix. So it's like the best matchup in the world. Who's going to be guarding him? Whoa. I forgot. PJ Tucker, who defended him really well last game, is probably going to be defending him. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm not lying about that. PJ Tucker really defended Anthony Davis last time they played Phoenix. And he shut him down in that fourth quarter. I'm trying to pull up the game log to see exactly what he did. And I don't even see it on here. But it happened. I know I'm not dreaming it. I know it's almost 5 in the morning, but it happened, man. And so I'm a little nervous. I would no way will I do it in cash games, but it's still Phoenix. He should destroy PJ Tucker. I mean, I've watched so many people since the Towns incident where he basically made Towns into a little, scared little boy hiding in a corner. I've seen other guys. I mean, Anthony Davis is just too tall for PJ Tucker. So in theory, he's in a good spot, but just don't do it in cash games. Jokic, 10.9K. I don't know what to do with you. Honestly, this is the one guy that I'm confused about right now in this slate. It's like standing out like a big, like a sore thumb. I don't know what's the right analogy. He's so expensive. Now he's playing down in pace. Dallas can't rebound. So he's in an okay spot, not from a pace wise, but from a rebounding perspective, it's a good spot. Plus who's going to be guarding him? Probably like Dirk. I mean, Salah Mejri may get some minutes. He's just so expensive. And Anthony Davis is like the same price. I'm torn on what to do. The last game Jokic played against the Spurs was abysmal. He had 10 Fando points. Obviously, I think that was an anomaly. He should be fine. I just don't know where to play him. Right now, I don't have the money in cash either way. Blake Griffin's 9.2K. So the last few games, Clippers played Boston on Sunday, so it's going to be a back-to-back, 37 minutes on Sunday. So the last back-to-back he played was against Golden State, and he got 30 minutes. So that's a decent sign. Now, against Toronto, no Patrick Patterson. I guess hashtag Noghead's going to be defending him. Not really sure who. You can save almost $2,000 from Davis, 1.7K from Jokic. The minutes in the back-to-back worry me a little bit, but I find it very hard to believe he's not going to. They're running almost their entire offense through him, which they should. And I think he has a floor of around 30, 35 Fando points. And in cash games, that's probably what we need. A guy like that, he's not going to kill your lineups. So probably the safest power forward on the board right now, and the price is okay. LaMarcus Aldridge. Not against Memphis. I won't play him too much. Kevin Love. Oh, I digress, my friends. If Irving's out, Love is the safest play. You could, if you want to, you could go Love and Griffin. Two really safe. If you can spend up, if you can punt this punt shooting guard, punt one of the small forward spots, play some Love and Griffin. Very safe for cash games. Love will probably be a lock for me if Irving is out. He's still too cheap. He's 7.6K. Had 41 Fando points the last game without Kyrie. As good as Washington has played and Markieff has been excellent, Kevin Love can take Markieff on the perimeter or take him in the post. So it's a really good matchup for him. Speaking of that same game, Markieff, 7.2K. Give me Kevin Love every day of the freaking week. These two are basically the same price now. So if Irving's out, give me Love. Even if Irving plays, I think I'd still take Love. Markieff's been good, but that's a really hefty price to pay in an 11-game slate. Kenneth Fareed, I'm not paying 6.9K for Kenneth Fareed. I don't give – this is not going to happen. No, thank you. Kristaps Porzingis. Here we go, my friends. I want to do some bargain shopping. I feel like we haven't gone shopping in a while now. The holidays are over, but you know what's coming up? it's Valentine's pretty soon, right? So for your lady friend, or if you're a lady listening to the show, for your guy friend, your fella friend, look, this is so dirt cheap. He's played really crappy the last couple games. He's gotten in foul trouble. He's done stupid things. And he's still basically gotten us value. So now he gets the Lakers. They can't defend anyone. If he just shows up to that game, he's going to stumble and bumble into around 25 to 30 with an upside of like 50. So I will be using so much Porzingis. I think it's going to be Porzingis mania for me. And if he struggles tomorrow night, you will find me drinking alcohol. I'll just be at the bar by myself in a corner with my gavel, banging my head with this gavel. This to me, it's just too cheap. I want to pounce on this. Now, can the judge recommend this for you to do in cash? You know what? I can, and I just did. There you go. James Johnson. This is the difference between me and other sites. Other sites will basically not acknowledge when they are wrong for one. First of all, I will tell you this. I will be wrong. It's DFS. Crazy things happen every night. Occasionally, you have to make decisions. As much as I want to say, I'll have one lineup of Porzingis and I'll have one lineup of Fareed and one lineup of Azebo. That's because that's what the pros are doing. They're playing everyone. They're not making choices. They're letting computer programs give them every possible lineup. But occasionally, we have to make choices. Not occasionally. Every night, we do. And will I be wrong? Of course. That's just part of it. And will I tell you when I'm wrong? Yeah, I will. And you know who also will tell you? The troll. Zach Randolph. I'm not paying 6.2K for that bumbling, stumbling 400-pound guy either. He's been okay, but just, the slate dictates what I do. It's an 11-game slate. There's much better matchups for me to take advantage of. James Johnson, 6.1K. The minutes have gone down a little bit lately. I don't know why he got 16 against Philly. Like, him not starting does hurt. It really does. Because he's really capped at like 28 minutes. But so for me, I don't do it in cash games. Can you do it in a tournament? Sure. Ersan Ilyasova. Depends who's out for Philly. I mean, if he gets 40 minutes, he's gonna win us a lot of money. If Nerlens plays, he's going to get between 25 and 30, and he'll probably stumble and bumble and fumble into 25, 30 FanDuel points. And he'll be a nice cash game play, but probably not a great tournament play. And if Nerlens is out, but I'm pretty sure Nerlens is going to play. So either as of now, Ersan's a fine cash game play. Just the upside's not tremendous because it's hard to envision him getting over 30 minutes. Julius Randle. This is what I'm talking about, guys. I wanted to go shopping, and here we go. It's Valentine's Day for the judge because I'm going to use some Porzingis, and I'm also going to use some fat, gravy juice, Waffle House Randall, as long as he's healthy and going to play. He's had pneumonia for a while, but the price has now come down to 5.9K. I want to get on a player a day early rather than a day late. Now, do I recommend this one in cash? Probably not. He hasn't played in a while, so I can't recommend him in cash. But for like tournaments, and do I love the Porzingis, Julius Randle as my two power forwards in tournaments? Yeah. Now, you're missing out on Love, Griffin, Jokic, and Anthony Davis. So there's some opportunity cost for sure. But do I think that both those guys have some nice upside? I do. And everyone's going to be playing Davis, Jokic, Griffin, Kevin Love. So it's a day we're going to get – I mean, it's a double treasure, a double rainbow. Back from when was that famous on YouTube? Was that like 10 years ago already? That was a long time ago when the double rainbow thing was a big hit. Whatever happened to that guy? What if he's still alive? So this is a day where you can get guys like Porzingis and Randall. They're super cheap, and they're probably going to be under-owned because it's a large slate. The more I think about it, though, it's tough to bait Kevin Love without Kyrie. Not gonna lie. Then you got Tobias Harris. I don't need that stress in my life. Nerlens Noel. The price came down a little bit, so I don't mind that. But he's only gonna get around 20 minutes, and at 20 minutes, how good can he do? Does he have upside at that price? Probably not. Gorgui Dieng. One, he's asleep, and two, the minutes have been on the decline. So not much upside with him. David Lee, Terrence Jones. Dirk is an interesting play, 5.4K. Dirk's more of a cash game play for me because, again, not a, he lives in a house without a ceiling. So will he stumble between 20 and 30? Probably. I don't need it in tournaments, I don't think, though. Then you got Taj Gibson, John Lure. Is Derek Favors still in the NBA? Is he still playing these days? I mean, if you want to have a night of alcohol, play Derek Favors in 10 minutes. Saric, Jamichael Green, that was my favorite play on Saturday. I had him as a core. Without Marc Gasol, he gave me 41 Vanda points. That will never happen again. So, yeah, I'm not going to go back to the well and risk my luck on that. But he is 4.1K. He's still starting. I mean, so he's still going to get 24 minutes. You can do worse. I like Mirotić for tournaments if Butler's out at 3.8K. And then Marquese Chris. Dude, guys, he's 3.6K. I don't understand why Fando didn't raise his price. I mean, they had 2 days to do it. At least I think they did. He had 38 Fando points last game. That's two out of the last four games he's been over 30. His price should be about 4.5K right now. That's too cheap. So I think he's still a little risky for cash, I guess. But for me, like in single entry and tournaments, that's an elite play. I mean, that's a guy who can give you 10 times value. Center, Cousins. To me, I'm doing my best to get Cousins in my cash games. He's the last time he played the Bulls, he just utterly destroyed them. This was like a week or 2 weeks ago, 67 Fando points. His usage rate has climbed all the way up to – where is it now? Where is it? 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 37%, 37.4%. That's true usage. So that takes into account three-pointers. But still, like, and this is when it comes down to me between like Cousins and Towns. So Towns, great play against Miami. You can attack Whiteside. Whiteside's not a good on-ball defender. But Towns is a usage of 27%. Cousins is 10 percentage points higher. So if I'm choosing between the two, and I think Cousins has a better matchup because Robin Lopez just cannot defend Cousins. I mean, no one can defend Cousins, but Lopez, bigs have destroyed Lopez all year long. And then if Lopez is not in, what? Christian Felicio, Bobby Portis, it's just Cousins destroys those guys. Give me Cousins all, you know, every day of the week in terms of cash. Now, could you fade him and go Towns in tournaments? Of course, because it's tournaments. Crazy things happen all the time. And I do like Towns matchup as well. And center is also loaded on this slate. I mean, man, I love like 8, 9 different centers. So on DraftKings, it's a good day to play two different centers. And you can even play three because a lot of centers on DraftKings are under the power forward as well, which is some of the position stuff on DraftKings I don't like. I don't like the Donkey Kong stuff of the giving you bonus points. I also don't like how Deion Waiters is a small forward on DraftKings. Like, what is that about? Well, I think he's a shooting guard and small forward. Like, no, that should not happen. Cousins is a power forward, I think. Like, what is that about? So some stuff I don't like on DraftKings. I do like the pricing better, though. So Karl-Anthony Towns, fine for all formats, although if you are going to play cash, I prefer Cousins. Marc Gasol, I don't want to play him against the Spurs, 8.9K. Also, he's super expensive. He's been good. I love the usage, but just, that game I just want to avoid for cash. So Whiteside's coming off, you know, a monster, an absolute monster. 57 Fanduel points, 30 points, 20 rebounds in 27 minutes. Now, that I've said recency bias about 20 times on this show, right? It's a real thing. He's going to be higher on than he should be on this slate. So do I love it? No. Is it okay? Sure. And Towns, speaking of Towns, not a great defender either. Andre Drummond, 8.5K. No one's cost me more money this year. Nerlens Noel is a decent defender. When Noel's not in there, he should feast on guys like, you know, Ilyasova, Okafor. If Okafor plays, I don't know who else is going to try to defend him. So I don't mind him for tournaments. Cash games, hell to the no. Rudy Gobert, I'm not a big fan of testing Dwight Howard defensively either this year. Now, Gobert is still relatively safe, but, you know, I prefer other guys on this slate. So no, thank you for him. DeAndre Jordan, 7.6K. He's a forgotten guy. No one's going to play DeAndre Jordan. His minutes haven't been great. With no Chris Paul, he really does take a big hit. So I don't think you need to do it. I am going to have one DeAndre Jordan lineup. I think. But yeah, it's hard to get behind it. I mean, watching that Clippers game, last couple of Clippers game, I mean, he's already a guy, you know, talk about the lowest usage in the league. I mean, his usage rate is, wow, it's actually 14.5%. I mean, oh my God. So Gortat's usage rate is lower than DeAndre Jordan. Gortat's is 14.2%. That's crazy. Tyson Chandler's 11% and Tristan Thompson's 10.8%. Those are the worst centers. Wow. So, I mean, but do I want to, you know what, DeAndre Jordan, the more I think about it, maybe I'll have zero exposure. I mean, it's hard to love the play. Besides the fact that ownership will be so low. Dwight Howard. Yeah, so Dwight against Rudy Gobert. I'll just choose to go elsewhere on this slate. Now, in tournaments, you could do it. Hope one of them goes off. Sure. Now, will I have a lot of exposure? No. Gortat, 6.7K. I just read his usage rate. I don't know why I didn't know it was that low. That's horrifyingly low. Last two games, he's been rebounding out of his mind. 17 rebounds against the Pelicans, 14 against the Lakers. So 35 and 43 FanDuel points. Now he gets a Cleveland team that's undersized. Tristan frickin' Triscuit Thompson. I don't really need to pay that price. If I'm stacking this game, maybe I'll have a couple of lineups with Gortat. That's expensive for him though. Miles Turner, not cash games. Hasn't been doing it lately, and now you get Steven Adams, so it's just not the best matchup for him either. Speaking of which, Steven Adams, 6.1K. Just a nice, safe play. If you don't want to think what to do at center, you don't know what to do, just play Steven Adams. He won't kill your lineups, and you can attack Indiana on the board. So he's going to get you between 20 and 30 FanDuel points. He'll be fine. Valanciunas, 6.1K. Price came up a little bit. I don't mind it. He's, we all know Dwayne Casey hates him. He does, but if Damar's out, I will use a little of him because he does get a nice little 4% usage bump. And DeAndre Jordan is not a good on-ball defender. So, yeah, I think it's fine. I think he's going to – kind of the same – you know, him and Steven Adams are the exact same price. So, obviously, Steven Adams would be the guy using cash. And if I could choose one in tournaments, I'd probably go Valanciunas. You got the Triscuit. If you guys want to go to the Triscuit, you can – he's going to give you 8 or 19, or once in a full moon, he'll give you 50 or 40. I'm not paying 5.4K for a guy who has a 10% usage rate. I won't do it. Tyson Chandler, same thing. I'm not paying 5.4. I repeat myself. I'm not paying 5.4K for a guy with an 11% usage rate. Hernan Gomez, on the other hand, he has upside. He will get the ball. He will shoot the ball. He actually had 5 assists last game as well. My voice got really high. I was so excited about that. So last three games, 32, 43, 37 FanDuel points. Is that something I can interest you in? Of course. Now he's not cheap anymore, but now he gets the Lakers. Noah's already out. So even if O'Quinn's starting, I don't care. Hernan Gomez, I think, is going to get at least 24 minutes because O'Quinn can't stop fouling anyone. He's fouling people in his dreams right now. So Hernan Gomez, really good play on this slate. Robin Lopez, 4.7K. You could try to say to yourself, you know what? They're going to keep him in the game a lot to defend Cousins. If he gets minutes, he will produce. He's a fantasy point-per-minute guy. The problem is, how many minutes can he really play against Cousins? He got just torched the first time around. He's dirt cheap. So I think if you play him, he's not going to kill your lineups. I think he's going to get you close to 20. I do think there's probably better options. Salam Mezri's 4K. Nuggets, 4K. Deadman walking, 3.9K. Zubac. Yeah, Luke Walton, thanks for putting him back in the rotation. How's that working out? 4 minutes last game. So the more I think about it, as much as there's good centers that are in play, not a lot of there's a lot of good centers who don't have good matchups. So that the more I think about it, just the more I want DeMarcus Cousins, who's in an elite matchup, the more I want to find a way to get in my lineup. Because yeah, I like Hernan Gomez a lot for value, Adams for value, and for safety in cash games. And then you're taking risks with a lot of the guys. Then Towns and Cousins are both really elite plays. But you got, I mean, the guys like Turner and Gortat, Dwight, DeAndre, just not elite spots for them. I guess maybe Drummond's looking a little bit better to me now. All right, that's it. That's the slate. We got through it. 11 games. It's a monster. Be safe and smart with your money. Also, it's probably going to be crazy. There's going to be lots of injury news. I would recommend try to keep track of injury news as the day progresses. And remember, if too much stuff goes on that last hour, you can cancel your entries. If you're not comfortable with the slate, and I think the last time there was a 12-game slate, it turned out I wasn't as comfortable. I didn't like it as much as I wanted to, and I ended up not playing as much as I normally do, and I canceled some tournaments. That's fine to do as well. Do whatever you feel comfortable with. Like, that's the key. All right, guys, any questions, tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Remember, best of the best chambers is on Monday. I will also tweet out chambers, though, for the rest of us. There'll be two additional chambers on FanDuel, one additional chambers on DraftKings. Hope you had a good weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. And now we get just NBA for the rest of the year. It'll be fantastic for me and the bailiff and my hoarse voice. Court is adjourned.